Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
December 12th, 2006, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, scene modes, S-C-E-N-E modes. That's right. You know, we have these little icons hidden away on all of our compact cameras and many of our advanced models, like a picture of a woman, or a party blower going off, or a snowflake, or some guy running really fast. Of course, there are these little universal-looking icons so that, you know, everyone knows what they are. And we might know what the icons are, but rarely do we know exactly what they stand for. And, of course, the last place you want to go to find out what these little icons stand for is your user manual that came with your camera. Believe me, I've tried on three different cameras, and I got nowhere. I got some very cryptic big graphs and things with, you know, some dots were filled in solid and other dots were open and a whole lot of little footnotes that said for this and this and this, sometimes this happens and so forth. But no real discussion about scene modes in general, what they can do. Now, that's kind of ironic, isn't it? Because I think the whole idea of scene modes is for you to be able to set your camera quickly and easily when you're in some particular kind of lighting or, you know, setting so that, you know, you can get the right picture. But yet, there's no real explanation how they work. So I thought, well, what the heck? It's a holiday season. We're going to be toting our compacts a lot, and we're going to be maybe doing a little bit more socializing than usual. Why not talk about scene modes for just a moment? Before we delve into the world of cryptic icons, however, I thought I'd give a little shout out to our sponsors here at the Digital Story, Boinks Software, who makes Photo Magico. That's F-O-T-O-M-A-G-I-C-O. And you can find them at photomagico.com, the greatest slideshow software ever. And ExpoDisc, expodisc.com, E-X-P-O-D-I-S-C. And these are the guys that make the wonderful attachment for getting great color temperature and white balance settings, regardless of the kind of lighting that you're in. Thanks to both of our sponsors for keeping the Digital Story afloat. And I also want to mention this month's photo assignment, which is Pool of Light. I talked a little bit about it last week. And this one's challenging and exciting and all this stuff rolled up at the same time. And the example that I gave, of course, is when you're shooting an existing light scene and it's kind of shadowy and dark, but yet there's a little bit of light, a little splash of light coming in somewhere. And that's where the subject is. And that is what I call a pool of light scene. So that's sort of the basic photography explanation, but there's all sorts of stuff that you can do with that. And of course, the November photo assignment, the one from last month, is now online, and you can go and check it out at thedigitalstory.com. Take a look at it. It's an outstanding gallery, and I think you'll really enjoy what our virtual camera club members have come up with for November. And at the same time, hopefully that will inspire you to enter Pool of Light for December. It's a short month. There's lots going on. Don't let the deadline slip away, which is at the end of December. And if you need to find out more about entering in the photo assignment or grab shots or anything else that we have going on around here, go to the submissions page, and you can't miss it on the Digital Story because there's a big button at the top that says submissions. So you just click on it, and you'll get all the information that you need in order to send in your grab shot or your photo assignment, which is, by the way, for December. Did I mention Pool of Light? All right, great. So now let's get back to those cryptic icons and find out what they mean. So if you cycle through all of the functions, settings that your camera has, you'll have things like, you know, automatic programmed exposure and stuff like that. And at some point, you will run into something called scene modes. And in the old days, back when I was just a wee lad, only this high, we only had a few of them. We had like a portrait scene mode and an action scene mode and maybe a macro scene mode and possibly a night photography scene mode. And, you know, maybe one or two others, and that was pretty much it. And they were pretty self-explanatory. You could sort of figure out what was going on, although I'm going to talk about them in a little bit more detail in here in a second. But then recently, if you've bought a camera in the last year or so, you've noticed that, wow, there are all sorts of scene modes all of a sudden. I mean, we got scene modes for parties, and we got scene modes for snowflakes, and we got scene modes for kids and dogs, and I mean, my gosh, what the heck? You need a special scene mode for kids and dogs? I don't know, but I guess you do. And I think what's happened is that camera manufacturers have figured out, well, you know, here's kind of a, you know, okay, I'll say it, here's kind of a selling point thing, right? You know, we have 30 scene modes, and they only have 20, and therefore, this gives us a leg up in another specification column with our camera. Now, I'm not really getting down on them because some of these scene modes are really interesting. Where I do have a bit of a complaint is, okay, if you're going to put all these scene modes in there, you might want to spend a little time telling us, you know, what they do. And we're going to try to unravel that a little bit today. In most basic terms, what a scene mode does is it puts together your aperture and shutter speed setting, and your white balance setting, and your flash setting, and your drive setting in some combination that is optimized for the type of photography that you're going to do. And now, when you're in a scene mode, you usually can't change these things. You can't usually customize a scene mode very much. You might have some flexibility in some of the functions, but generally speaking, you're locked in to, you know, these ideal settings that the camera manufacturer has decided goes with that specific scene. So let's take one of the most basic scene modes, one that's been around forever, the portrait scene mode, which usually has an icon of a lovely side view of a lady. And that's because, you know, we always take portraits of ladies from the side, and that's why that's there. So what the scene mode does for the portrait mode most often is that it will open up the aperture, usually, you know, giving you a little something like, you know, if your camera is f2.8 as the widest aperture, it will do that. It will usually, if it can, go to some sort of spot metering mode because you want the metering to go on the person and not on the background. And it will usually warm up, if it can, the white balance a little bit. So maybe go to a warmer white balance setting for skin tones or something that the camera manufacturer believes is optimized for skin tones. So, and for the drive mode, it could go either way. Personally, I'd like it if it went drive mode because I think taking portraits, you know, with burst works really well because a lot of times you catch a good expression, but sometimes they'll take a scene mode for portrait and go single shot, and I'm not exactly sure what the thinking's going there. This is where they're kind of fun to dissect. Another basic scene mode, often called action or sports, puts together another combination of settings. Now they will set the drive mode to burst or continuous, because obviously you're taking actions and you're going to want to rattle off a lot of shots in a series. The exposure settings will usually focus more on a fast shutter speed as opposed to messing around with the aperture very much. So it will probably take you into some sort of shutter priority mode where it sets a relatively fast shutter. I'm not sure it does much with white balance, although it could, but it's doubtful. But it's usually taking the combination of a fast burst mode with a fast shutter speed in order to, you know, make sure that your camera is best optimized for capturing sports scenes. The landscape mode, which is usually displayed with a little mountain picture, that will take you sometimes to an infinity focus setting, which I think is very interesting. But I've actually seen that happen a number of times. And if it can, it will usually stop down the aperture a little bit to give you a little bit more depth of field. So, you know, that's sort of a trippy. The night portrait mode, I think, is actually one of the most useful scene modes because a lot of times people forget how to take a night portrait, so, you know, the combination of settings. And this is sort of nice because it will use your flash, and it will also slow down the shutter speed and try to balance the flash exposure with the slower shutter speed so that you can get some of the environment in the background to show up in the picture so you aren't just shooting flash against black. And to what extremes the camera will go to in order to hold that background varies from camera to camera, but some cameras will give you a really long shutter setting in night portrait mode, and so that background, you know, is very subject to camera shake, right? Because you might be shooting as long as a second or something like that. Now, the flash will freeze pretty much everything that's within its range, usually within 8 feet. So the person or the subject that's in the foreground will usually be relatively sharp because the flash will help freeze that person even though you have a long shutter speed. So a lot of times in night portrait mode, if you're doing handheld, you'll get a relatively sharp person, hopefully not too overexposed with the flash. It'd be nice if they automatically cut back that flash like a half or so. And then a background that may or may not have a camera shake depending on how long the shutter speed is and how steady you hold it. Now, a really good tip for using night portrait mode is to use a tripod or to set the camera on a ledge or something and use the self timer. And this is especially helpful if you want to get in the shot too, because then the camera will be steady during the exposure and both the foreground subject, the person, and the background will be relatively sharp. And that's a really nice way to use that mode. And again, I think that night portrait mode is actually one of the more useful scene modes. One of the scene modes that's been cropping up a lot over the last year or two is the party scene mode. And I think this one is relatively useful also. Because one of the things that people do when they're indoors at party settings, you know, and this is, again, as I mentioned earlier, the holiday time of year. So, you know, we find ourselves in this situation all the time. But one of the things that people do is they just turn on the flash and they shoot away and, you know, usually have that shutter speed locked in at a 60th of a second or so if you're using an auto flash. And a lot of times the background goes very dark. Now, you don't need that real long shutter speed like for night portrait mode, because I think, you know, in the party mode, they're assuming that you're walking around and just sort of shooting on the go. But it's nice to slow down that shutter a little bit so that you can capture a little bit of that background information, everything that is living outside of the range of the flash. And again, the range of the flash is usually 8 to 10 feet or so. So what party mode does is sort of an in-between between regular flash mode and night portrait, and it slows down the shutter a little bit and tries to give you a little background information, but it doesn't slow it down so much that you're going to get super blurry background. And I think it's really worth playing around with. It's a somewhat useful mode. It varies in its effectiveness from camera to camera, but it's certainly one to keep in mind to try next time you find yourself at a holiday gathering or birthday party or anything where you're taking flash shots indoors with a fair amount of light indoors, you know, a little bit of background light, and give it a whirl and see, you know, what kind of results you get with it. Now, a few minutes ago, I was sort of making fun of what I was calling kids and dogs, which normally shows up really as kids and pets on your scene modes. And really, I think this is just another variation often of sports. And I think what they're doing is a lot of times on kids and pets mode, they will give you a little faster shutter speed, probably give you a little bit of a burst mode, and off you go. The assumption being that kids and pets move faster than us bigger, slower adults. So kids and pets and sports, I think, pretty much are interchangeable. I'm going to talk a little bit more about dissecting what exactly is going on in these scenes later on. But right now, in terms of talking about a general overview, I would put kids and pets and sports pretty much in the same category. One of my favorite scene modes, and I'm saying this with tongue firmly planted in cheek, is the sunset scene mode. Like, we don't know how to take a picture of a sunset. I think basically what they're doing in the sunset scene mode is possibly warming up the color temperature a little bit. I mean, warming it up, cooling it off a little bit, because you normally have very warm color temperatures at sunrise and sunset, you know, very orangey red. And they might adjust the white balance a little bit to compensate for that. But other than that, you know what? A sunset's like the easiest thing in the world to shoot. So I really wouldn't worry about the sunset scene mode next time you're looking out the window and you see a beautiful sunset calling to you. A more useful setting, I think, far and away is the beach slash snow setting. And they may break them up into two settings. So you may get a beach setting and you may get a snow setting. But basically, they will do the same thing. And this is where I think you actually will get into some exposure compensation. Because, you know, one of the problems when you're shooting very bright scenes, snow, you know, where there's white everywhere, or beach where there's white sand everywhere, is that your camera tends to underexpose in these scenes. And of course, your camera is metering for 18% gray. And so snow is very white. And so what it wants to do is expose your snow so that it's more, you know, grayish rather than white. And of course, that's not usually what we want. We usually want our snow white, not, you know, muddy gray. So I think going back to scene modes, what's interesting about this is here's a real opportunity where your camera will give you usually like a plus one exposure compensation so that your snow actually is more on the white side. And it may also adjust the color temperature a little bit because usually these scenes turn out a little bluish, a little cool, and it'd be nice to warm that up a little bit. So it could be a combination of plus one exposure, plus maybe the cloudy white balance setting to give you a very natural looking snow scene or sand scene. So I would put this one definitely in the category of pretty darn useful. I was looking at my Canon SD700IS. I was checking out the scene modes on it the other day, and I saw one that I've never seen before, which is foliage. And I haven't really dissected it yet. I'm not really sure what's going on or why I would need a scene mode for foliage. So I'll leave this one in the category. If any of you want to write into the show notes and give me a great explanation of the foliage scene mode, I would love to hear it. Now, another one that is in there that is very useful for type of photography I've been doing a lot of lately is underwater. And a lot of times you'll get an underwater scene mode if your camera has an underwater housing that's paired up with it. And the Canon 700IS does have an underwater housing. And in fact, I use the underwater scene mode when I'm shooting with the housing underwater, and it works great. And what it does here, it puts your flash in auto flash mode so that if you do need flash, it will fire. But the main thing that it does is that, you know, it adjusts the white balance setting to warm up the very cool tones that you tend to get when you're underwater. So underwater scene mode is actually quite useful, and I like it because I can just switch to it really fast when I'm underwater. And then when I go topside and I'm taking pictures with the camera still in the housing, I just switch it to, you know, the regular program mode, and I can shoot, shoot, shoot. And then when I go back underwater, just flip it back into underwater scene mode. It's actually a very handy mode. And again, if you don't have an underwater housing, I'm not really sure how useful it would be, but if you do, it's a pretty darn slick. I have a handful of what I consider really useful scene modes also, if your camera has these. Near the top of my list, in terms of favorite scene modes, is the panorama scene mode. And I think this one is darn useful. And on a lot of cameras, especially the compact cameras, what the panorama scene mode will do will actually show you the picture that you just took, and then it will just juxtaposition the scene that you're lining up over it, so that you can get that, like, that one-third overlap and get the horizon and things all matched up. And it's really, really quite useful. And the other thing that the panorama scene mode will do is it will often give your files a special file name, you know, like it'll put an A, B, C, D or so at the end of the file name. And then that way your stitching software can identify those. If you have stitching software that's bundled with the camera to make assembling your panoramas even easier, or even if you're not using the bundled stitching software, if you're just kind of doing it with Photoshop or something, you can more easily identify those files. So I think that's pretty cool. Another useful one, if you have it, is the backlighting scene mode. And basically what it does is that it, when you're in this mode, and, you know, backlighting, of course, is when you have a very strong light, bright sky or something in the background and you're shooting a person. It can do any number of things. It can do exposure compensation. It can go to spot meter mode. It could turn on the flash. It can do, you know, sort of all these, some of these things that we know that help us fight backlighting. And if you're never quite sure how to wrangle with a backlit situation, you might want to give the scene mode a try and see how well it works for you, because it's really not a bad idea to try to do something so that you don't end up with a bunch of post-production on a shot that you really like. And of course, another scene mode, and the classic scene mode, is the macro scene mode that will take you to a special macro mode that allows you to get nice and close on your subject, and will make as many things as it can do. You're, in terms of exposure, camera settings, and it probably puts you in a single frame drive mode. But anything that the camera can do to help you get good close-ups, I think macro mode is very useful. And a lot of the times, the scene mode for macro will, the camera will actually do something special in terms of with the lenses and focusing and so forth. So it's very useful, too, if you want to get right in there real close on a flower or something like that. Now, here's an interesting thing about scene mode. So, you know, I've been talking right now in terms of using them as really shortcuts to the proper exposure and white balance and drive settings, and sometimes even exposure compensation settings for particular types of shooting environments. And I think to some degree they are handy for that. But now here's another use for them that you don't hear people talk about too much, which is actually studying the scene modes to, you know, get better at photography. And what I mean by that is some thought has actually been put into these scene modes in terms of getting the right combination of settings so that, you know, you have the best odds possible for getting a particular type of shot in a particular type of situation. So if you go the other way, if you study, okay, look in your owner's manual and try to figure out, and a lot of times in these cryptic charts that I mentioned earlier, they will at some point give you some clue as, you know, whether the flash is on or off, whether you're in shutter priority or aperture priority, whether the drive mode is in single or continuous, whether it's turning on exposure compensation, white balance, and so forth. So you can go the other way and learn on how to set your own camera without the scene modes, you know, using the scene modes as a basic starting point for understanding photography settings. And I think this is like relatively interesting because you can say, well, you know, I always forget what I'm supposed to do when I want to take flash pictures indoors. You know, do I, you know, speed up the shutter? Do I slow down the shutter? Do I turn on the flash? Do I turn off the flash? You know, do I, you know, use auto red eye, whatever. And so you can look up your indoor scene mode in your instruction manual, and you might see something like, I don't know, this would be really cool if you did, depending on your owner's manual, something like flashes on, and shutter speed is set to 1/30th of a second, and white balance is set to the flash white balance setting, which is, you know, actually warming it up a little bit. And you go, oh, okay, so it slows down the shutter speed a little bit. And same thing on portrait, where, you know, it would open up the aperture. And maybe use spot metering. And, oh, that's a good reminder, spot metering for when I'm shooting existing light portraits. That's a good idea. And on and on and on. So I think these scene modes can be useful in terms of, you know, just sort of understanding, you know, basic photography principles. Here's another way that I use scene modes, and I do use them sometimes because I do think they're decent shortcuts in certain kinds of situations. So, for instance, if I know I'm going to a party and I'm going to be taking pictures indoors with with a decent amount of light, but maybe not the greatest lighting in the world. So what I'll do is I'll go to what I can do on my camera is go to the scene mode. And pick a particular scene mode, in this case, let's say indoor flash or indoor party or whatever, and pick it and then go back to my regular program mode. Now, what will happen is that if I switch back to the scene mode really quickly, it goes back to the scene mode that I last set. So then I can use it as a shortcut to go back and forth between, you know, my regular programmed auto exposure setting or whatever setting I'm using and the special indoor party mode without having to flip through, you know, all the different scenes to find the one that I want. And I think that's where scene modes get frustrating, is that, you know you want to do something, right? You know, I think there's a party mode in here somewhere. And so then, you know, you're there at the party and you want to find it quickly and you go into the scene modes and, you know, you're getting lost and you get frustrated and finally you just say, forget it. And you just go back to, you know, the regular exposure mode that you always use. So I think, you know, if you do a little prep where you go, okay, you know, I'm going to a party tonight or I'm going to be, you know, at an outdoor event where kids and pets will be running around or whatever, then take a moment before you go, find the scene mode that you think is most appropriate, know how to get to it, and if you can, set it up so you can just, you know, toggle back and forth between your regular exposure mode and that particular scene mode, then set that up. Then I think you're probably more likely to use it. So a little bit of preparation for the scene modes, I think, actually can enhance their usefulness. And then another thing I recommend is that after you've shot with these scene modes, analyze how well they work. You know, analyze afterwards. Look at the shots that you shot in the scene mode. Look at the shots that you shot your regular way. What do you like better about them? What maybe don't you like as much? And then that will help you refine so that the next time you're in a specific situation, you go, you know, the scene mode really worked well for this particular thing. And then off you go. So now you're armed and dangerous for your pending holiday gatherings. You're going to check out your scene modes. You're going to be ready to go. And worst case scenario, even if you don't use them, if someone else asks you about them, you can, you know, kind of give them some info there. Take some great pictures. Get some grab shots turned in. Don't forget about Pool of Light for a photography assignment. And most importantly, show up here again next week. Thanks for tuning in. This is Derek Story, and I will talk to you soon. Bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.